everyone. And so what we're asking is for 5 minutes of silence before Mass and 5 minutes of silence after Mass to allow these folks to pray the prayers. Before Mass, we're pretty good because we have our prelude, and then that 5 minutes begins at the end of the prelude. But we would also ask now to let us add 5 minutes after Mass so that we can accommodate folks. And now this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about sacred music. How everyone has their own preference in music. Some like rock and roll. Others of us call that noise. And then there's the other end of the scale. Those of you who are my age still remember that Saturday evening torture called Lawrence Welk. Years of therapy to get over. Well, you know, what about the music at Mass? It's kind of the same thing. People have preferences, don't we? We like certain types of music and we don't like other types of music. And the music at Mass is often one of the most criticized or praised aspects worship. And the reason is probably because we don't understand the role of music in the liturgy. Now, the music at Mass is called sacred music. That should make a little light go on. Say something is sacred, we mean it's set apart. It's not like everyday, ordinary thing. So, for example, the sacred vessels that we use, chalices, would be inappropriate if we're having a dinner to go and get those and use them for wine goblets. They're set aside for worship. Now, Webster's Dictionary tells us that sacred means set apart or worthy of veneration by association with God. When we talk about sacred things, we're not talking about something that's just set apart. It's set apart for worship with God. So, when we talk about sacred music, what we're saying is a music that is unique. It's related to worship. So it's not going to be on any top 10 list. You know, you're not going to turn on the radio and hear the Sanctus in the top 10. You know what it should be. Because at Mass, what's happening? We're getting away from the world. This is like a little oasis. We're getting away from the world to spend a little time with God. Think about it. We say we want to go to heaven. What does that mean? Spending all eternity with God. Well, do you want it to be a shock? This is how we get used to spending time with God. This is how we get used to spending all eternity with God. Now, all music requires an instrument to play it. So what is the first instrument, the primo instrument for sacred music? Exactly, the voice, the human voice. This is one of the ways sacred music is what I would call profound. profoundly different from other types of music. Music, what do we generally do? Well, we listen to it, don't we? You listen to music on, you know, the iPod, the iPhone, radio, whatever other devices there are out there. We're listening to it. In other words, we're being entertained by it. It's doing the acting, and we're the one it's acting upon. Sacred music is the opposite. It's about us using the instrument of our voice to praise and worship God. So it's not about being entertained by the music. It's about actually making that music. Making that music to praise and worship God. So the question becomes, well, can we worship and praise God even when perhaps we don't like the music? It's not our preference. Can we still sing it? The answer is, yes. So can we sing it?
Yes.
Of course. I would make this argument. You might even call it an act of love. Because when someone does something that they don't really like doing, but they do it anyway for another, call that an act of love? So to sing that which does not entertain us, an act of love. Now, it requires us to understand that what we're doing here at Mass is not about us. Let me ask this question. If Mass were a play, who's the audience? Who are the actors? Yeah. And part of the problem when we have arrangements of our churches like this, we tend to look at it as, well, that's the audience and that's where the actors are. No. God is the audience. We're the ones doing the acting. So Mass is not about us. Hymns and even parts of the Mass that are written in a more contemporary style. A style that a lot of people like. We also have some very ancient hymns. Some very ancient Mass parts. And they're still valid and they're part of our history. Chant, especially the chant in Latin. That is sacred music which has echoed in churches down through the centuries. In fact, it echoed down through the centuries really kind of as the mainstay until our own lifetime. Think about it. And when we sing these ancient songs and chants, whether, you know, it's in English or in Latin, reconnecting with all of those who have gone before us. You know, it's not just that, well, we're reconnecting with our history, with the history of the church. Call in a lot of the prefaces, just before we sing the Holy Holy or the Sanctus, about joining our voices to the angels and saints. In the Creed, we talk about being one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We're not talking about just being one church here on earth. We're united with church in heaven. This is the church, we used to refer to this as the church militant, and the church in heaven is the church triumphant. We're one church praising God. And so when we're singing these ancient hymns or chants, joining these people who sang the same words and the same tunes, who are now in heaven, and we're joining in their worship of God. So, you know, there's always going to be different tastes in music. But we should not allow those differences to influence our worship. Sacred music is not about listening to or being entertained by a preferred style of music. Sacred music is about worshiping God. That is something that transcends personal preference.